President Donald Trump has signed the budget agreement that Congress passed just before sunrise in Washington this morning, ending an hours-long freeze in federal spending. Now the question is, will lawmakers come together on a measure to protect young immigrants whose deportation protections expire next month? Immigration is expected to come up for debate next week.
Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. Joining us today, Enrique Acevedo, Univision News anchor. He's in Miami. Hi, Enrique.
Hi, Jeremy.
And Domenico Montanaro, NPR lead politics editor. He's in Washington. Hi, Domenico.
Hey there. And with the cold here, I'm jealous.
You're jealous that we all wish we were in Miami today, Enrique. Well, in Washington, where you are, Domenico, 73 House Democrats bucked their leadership and joined Republicans in voting for the Senate's two-year budget agreement, even though it did not address immigration. And we're going to get to that. 167 Republicans voted yes for the deal, even though the plan is going to add more to the debt. What stood out to you about how this unfolded?
Well, the fact that they had a lot of this negotiating going on behind the scenes, and the fact that Chuck Schumer was willing to hold the line on DACA and shut the government down not that long ago and now decided not to this time around and go with some of these broader priorities here. Now, there's still a lot to go when it goes to the House, because a lot of Republicans, a lot of conservatives don't like the fact that this thing would increase the debt, because it adds another $400 billion in spending. So, you know, on top of $1.5 trillion in tax cuts, another $400 billion here, that's gotten a lot of people on the right, as we saw all through last night, very concerned and upset.
Enrique, your thoughts about that? Because it didn't seem like there was a problem raising the debt when the tax cut came along.
Right. They were not concerned about deficits then.
Deficits, yeah.
I'm just worried that Congress can't pass legislation supported by 80% of Americans, legislation like the DREAM Act, but manages to shut down the federal government twice in a few weeks. Our political system was designed to let majorities rule. People are entitled to get from government whatever a majority of them want. And that should be a central determiner of legislation and policy. But it seems like time and time again, a radical minority in Congress is forcing its agenda on the majority. And that is not what it means to live in a democracy.
Well, do you believe, Enrique, that they are going to address the Dreamers before the deadline in March?
I think they will find a solution in Congress. I'm just not very optimistic that they will do it by the deadline, Jeremy.
Let's listen to Senator Rand Paul, Kentucky senator, who held up voting in the Senate last night with a talkathon warning about deficit spending.
I ran for office because I was very critical of President Obama's trillion-dollar deficits. Now we have Republicans hand-in-hand with Democrats offering us trillion-dollar deficits. I can't, in all good honesty and all good faith, just look the other way because my party is now complicit in the deficits.
And as Meghna mentioned, Rand Paul voted for the $1.5 trillion tax cut along with a number of other Republicans. This is his fellow Republican John Cornyn criticizing what he did last night.
The senator from Kentucky, by objecting to the unanimous consent request, will effectively shut down the federal government for no real reason. I know he wants to make a point. He has that right. I agree with many of his concerns about deficits and debt. But we are in an emergency situation.
Domenico, what did you make of Rand Paul's move there when it didn't even stop the bill from passing in the end?
Yeah, he wants to be able to take a stand and make a point in the same way that Nancy Pelosi wanted to make a point the day before with her eight-hour speech, the longest speech in House history since at least 1909. She wanted to make a point on DACA and the fact that there was nothing in this budget deal having to do with that. And Rand Paul wanted to make a point in saying that nobody has done anything when it comes to the debt, whichever party it is. And that's a perfect message for Rand Paul's brand. I mean, this is a guy who won being able to say, I have a message from the Tea Party. And the message from the Tea Party was shrink and reduce what the government is spending on so that you bring the debt down. And that hasn't worked since that 2010 wave.
You know, Enrique, I wonder what you think of this. It seems to me that President Trump actually, in a tweet this morning, may have been the most transparent of them all, right? Because he talked about how Republicans were forced to increase domestic spending, quote, on things we do not like or want. I mean, that's kind of fundamentally what it comes down to. It doesn't matter what what party is. People are going to spend federal dollars on what they want, and they're going to complain about spending federal dollars on things they don't want.
Well, that's actually one of the advantages Donald Trump has as a politician. He's not tied to a particular ideology or any convictions for that matter. So he doesn't have to run on one particular promise, you know, even though he made a lot of them during the campaign. What I'm saying is he's not concerned about catering to a particular group, I think, on this specific discussion about the budget.
How much trouble is White House Chief of Staff John Kelly in, Domenico, after his aide Rob Porter abruptly left his job as staff secretary on Wednesday amid this domestic violence allegations that became public this week? Let's listen here to one of Porter's ex-wives, Jennifer Willoughby, speaking with Anderson Cooper on CNN last night.
He is a intelligent, kind, chivalrous, caring, professional man, and he is deeply troubled and angry and violent. I don't think those things are mutually exclusive.
And the people he works with may not have seen that side of him at all.
Of course not. Of course not.
Now, it turns out reports are saying that Kelly and the White House counsel Don McGahn were told months ago about these allegations as part of Porter's vetting for a security clearance. What do you make of this story, Domenico?
Well, there's reports that the president is upset with everyone from John Kelly to Hope Hicks, who he said or has told some reporters have reported that that the president's been upset with, that he felt that Hope Hicks's relationship with Porter had clouded her judgment. There have been reports that he's upset with John Kelly and isn't sure what he's going to do, and that he may have called Reince Priebus, his former chief of staff, who he had ousted to hire Kelly in the first place. So there's all kinds of turmoil going on within the White House today. We don't know if that's just the president and how he feels this morning, or if he is going to continue to feel that way. But there's certainly going to be a lot of questions from reporters at the briefing today and throughout this week on who knew what, when, and what was relayed to the president and what wasn't, because so far that hasn't been very forthcoming from the White House. So I think that that's a big piece of it. I want to make one point about the last question that you asked about the president talking about government waste and the spending, because it's part of this whole story. But kind of what drives Trump, and it was so nakedly honest for him to say that government is essentially, you know, whatever you spend on domestic money is wasteful, and whatever is spent for military is good spending. That's not usually the way you hear conservatives talk about it. They talk about waste and good governance and managing the government better. But this is a whole different world of both parties kind of going in different directions when it comes to how they spend money.
Enrique, go ahead.
On Kelly, I would just add that, you know, President Trump and his chief of staff have much more in common than people think. I thought it was revealing how even after Kelly recognized Rob Porter's behavior, he still didn't mention the victims of his alleged abuse. The same with Dreamers. He suggested some of them were lazy for not applying to DACA when the White House he manages has done everything to prove those kids that decided to withhold their personal information from their government right. I still believe Kelly is a positive force inside a chaotic administration, but instead of Kelly changing the Trump White House, it seems the White House is changing him.
The vice president has been in Asia for the Olympics, and in Japan, on his way to the Olympics, reporters pressed him on the Porter story, and here's what he said to Washington Post reporter Ashley Parker.
We'll comment on any issues affecting White House staff when we get back to Washington.
Briefly follow up on that and ask, this is now a number of times when you found out, you're the vice president, you're number two in the administration, where you found out about something very late after a number of other senior staff below you, even in the West Wing, have found out about it. Again, I understand we're standing here, but can you comment on why you often seem a little bit out of the loop on some of this major news?
You know, it's a great honor for me to serve as vice president. And President Trump has been incredibly generous with the responsibilities.
Domenico, what do you make of that? It does seem like Mike Pence seems to be out of the way when stuff like this happens.
You know, Jeremy, it's a great honor for me to be on this.
Everyone genuflect. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Mike Pence, going all the way back to the Mike Flynn situation where the former national security advisor, you know, essentially told Pence the wrong information, lied to the vice president. The vice president wound up going on Sunday shows with the wrong information. You know, Mike Pence is Mike Pence. He has his own way of being. Certainly, it's very different than President Trump's. He's going out there to do a job and to try to do what's best he feels for the president. But he's clearly not always in the loop.
You know, all along, as we've had story after story from the Trump administration, President Trump has been able to point out that the stock market's doing really well. And I'm just noticing, again, we're seeing it down today. We read that it's lost 40% of its value that it gained under President Trump so far. Enrique, just in the few seconds we have left, is this going to be a big story, what's happening in the stock market?
I hope not, because it eventually might hurt the real economy. And I think it's a rookie mistake by the president to link himself to the markets right. in that very public way.
That's Enrique Acevedo, news anchor at Univision. We've also been speaking with Domenico Montanaro, NPR lead politics editor. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.